it's recording. Thank you. Well, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Felix Lopez. I'm the chair of Los Angeles County Commissioners. It is November 1st, 2022. It is now 3:30. I'm going to call this Board of County Commissioners work session to order, and I'm going to ask you to please rise. Commissioner Tony Haas will lead us on an invocation.
Dear God, thank you for your promise to be with us every day. At school, work, rest, or play, help us to be near you and hear your voice. Guide us to always do our best in every situation, in your holy glory. Amen.
Amen. Do we have Commissioner Luis Lopez online?
No, sir, we don't.
Otherwise, please join me on a Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Roll call, Mr. Dorenkamp.
Commissioner Haas.
Here.
Commissioner Felix Lopez.
I am here. Approval of the agenda. Do we have any changes to the agenda?
No changes, Commissioner.
Sure. For approval of the agenda.
Second.
Mr. Felix Lopez.
Yes.
Mr. Haas.
Yes.
Okay, so on item two, we have discussion of BLM MOU. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. We welcome you to Los Angeles County Board of County Commissioners and eager to hear what you have to share with us. And I'm going to ask you to please go around and introduce yourselves, if you would, at this time.
Steph, you're first.
Hello, I'm Kathy Cook. I'm the Rocky Mountain District Manager for BLM, and I'm duty stationed in Canyon City. Keith?
Thank you, and welcome, Kathy.
Hi, my name's Keith Berger. I think I've talked to the board maybe once or twice before. I'm the field manager for the Royal Gorge Field Office, which includes any BLM matters in Los Angeles County.
Welcome, Keith.
I'm Stephanie Carter. I'm a planning and environmental coordinator for the Rocky Mountain District and sit also in Canyon City.
Welcome, Stephanie.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Ashley Phillips. I'm also a planning and environmental coordinator for the Colorado State Office and helping coordinate this big game project for the BLM. And it's a pleasure to be here today. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome to all of you. I think at this point in time, we will get the conversation back up to you folks, so you can walk us through the proposition and or your MOU.
Thank you. I think, Ashley, are you going to do a presentation for us?
I don't think we have a presentation planned. From my understanding, it's more discussion, but we can pull up some previous slides if it's helpful to have visuals. But to give kind of an overview of what our MOU is about and where we're looking for the county's cooperation, the Bureau of Land Management, Colorado, it's been a few months now, earlier this year, initiated a statewide planning project to help conserve and protect big game here in Colorado, the focus being oil and gas. So there was a public scoping time, and we received quite a few comments about the scope of the effort, data to use, and other information to help the BLM as we begin to formulate alternatives. And we are hoping with the county's expertise and special expertise to enter an agreement with you to be a cooperator as part of this effort with the BLM. So our MOU, if you have a copy, we're open to any changes you may have or questions on this MOU, but it details a little bit of the background of this effort, the purpose and need, kind of talks about what's BLM's responsibilities as lead agency, as well as what are cooperating agency responsibilities. Some authorities, and it's really kind of that agreement between understanding what is the responsibilities as a cooperating agency. I think we've got 25 other counties on board right now, and involvement can differ. But one benefit we commonly hear is it's nice to just be a part of the discussions and hear the updates and be kind of have that intimate cooperation to always know where this effort is at and any input you have during every step of the process. So that's a large benefit of cooperating agency engagement in that relationship. And with that, as next steps, the BLM's hoping to hear your input on whether you're interested to be a cooperating agency, and if this MOU is something you have changes to, would like to further engage with BLM on the project or the MOU itself, from the county's perspective, and just hear where you're at.
Well, thank you once again. You know, one of my questions that I have is, as a cooperating agency, and this stems, as you mentioned early on, from oil and gas operations, I guess I'm understanding that properly, but then if I go to your website, can we find the participating counties? You mentioned 25 counties already supporting or signing as cooperators.
You can. This can particularly be found on the project website within a document called Scoping Report Summary. In that document, it summarizes not only the comments that BLM received, but also who are current cooperating agencies. That being said, there are some counties who may join yet. That's just kind of the 25 who are currently onboarded and have MOUs signed. But you and any county can become a cooperator during the future planning process as well.
Highlight for us briefly what the lead responsibilities of BLM and then those of the cooperator county.
Yeah, so for some of these roles between lead agency being BLM and the cooperating agency being the county, BLM is responsible for all aspects of the planning process and the preparation of the environmental impact statement. So we maintain responsibility for the analysis and other statutory and regulatory requirements associated with this planning process. We also have contractors onboarded who are helping the BLM comply with some of the NEPA compliance. We are also responsible to facilitate the overall process of cooperation to make sure if you have input, we want to have this open process to where your input is welcomed and can be obtained. So we try to, through cooperating agency meetings and other avenues, we try to facilitate a process for the lead agency and cooperating agency engagement to be helpful for both of us. We also are responsible for some other regulatory requirements like responsibility of the alternatives, what those look like. And again, all content of the planning and NEPA documents is what BLM's responsible for, including the schedule. We do have a schedule, a two-year schedule, where the notice of intent was published in July, and we're looking at having this entire effort be completed in 2 years. So that will be around July of 2024. Cooperator roles, and this can vary just depending on the expertise, but to engage with your special expertise, and that can vary among cooperators, but if you have information, comments, technical expertise that can help in any element of preparation of the plan or the NEPA, that can be very helpful for the BLM. So it could be, like I said, data needs, it could be relevant issues, providing that local perspective. Like I said, this is a statewide amendment effort, but your local expertise, sharing any concerns you have, other data that could be helpful, it's great for the BLM to have that expertise. And we'll have to see. There are no alternatives developed yet, but as things progress, you know, particularly looking at, well, what are the implications in the county, and what does this mean? What are the environmental impacts? And it will be helpful to have your expertise along the way in the process as things develop, certainly further along. Helping the BLM meet the project schedule, so you'll have an opportunity to look at drafts prior to the public and a lot of kind of internal deliberative documents that may not be publicly available, but opportunities to provide comment and with other counties and help the BLM prepare some of these documents before they're publicly available. And some other provisions there are is the MOU details, some confidentiality rules, just in terms of some of the data you see before the public sees, some of that is confidential. So we do want to make sure we maintain project file sharing appropriately, that records are kept the way they should be prior to public being publicly available.
Thank you. We have a question from Commissioner Tony Hess.
Thank you. And thank you for this dialogue. I believe I've been on a couple of your Zoom presentations on this. I don't know if you remember my comments about Los Angeles County and the produced water that the gas companies up here deliver. It is stored for wildlife purposes on a large acreage, and it's primarily responsible for the pristine elk habitat that we have. I think I heard in one of your meetings where there was a conversation about limiting the gas production to one well per square mile. Is that correct?
That is correct. That has been a discussion point in terms of there is a recommendation where limiting the surface density limitation of one pad per square mile is something that is part of the COGCC rulemaking. So BLM is looking at that for consistency with some of the state management. Yes.
Knowing that these wells do produce clean, almost potable water for these elk, without these produced wells, we wouldn't have that pristine elk herd that's here in Los Angeles County. And also those produced waters benefit our local ranchers also. And I hope you take that into consideration in your rulemaking. Also, could you tell me how this is going to affect agriculture grazing?
That's a very good question. So we haven't done the impact analysis yet. Of course, determining the impacts on that will somewhat depend on what we develop as cooperating agencies for alternatives. We'll have to see what those are. And I think that's definitely something we noted. Might've been from you too, but agriculture has been brought up. What will be any implications or impacts, beneficial or not, to that sector, as well as socioeconomic, kind of all connected. Something we're actively trying to establish some information to determine those impacts in the near future.
Having grazed some of that BLM in the past, and I've noticed that as soon as I pull my cattle out, there's a 100-day grazing period. As soon as I pull my cattle out, within 2 weeks, the elk are right in behind those cattle eating that short tender grass as it comes back up. Please take that into consideration, because it actually is cattle grazing is a fire mitigation source, and it also provides a more healthier ecological benefactor to the elk themselves. So I hope that you take that into consideration also.
So Commissioner, this is Keith Berger. I'm the manager for the area. I just want to point out, I think those are really good comments, really insightful. And obviously you and others in the county have a lot of insight into the benefits and the pros and cons as we go through this assessment and the environmental impact statement. I think what we're looking for here today is a decision, and not necessarily for today, but what we're asking the board to consider at this point in time is signing on as a cooperating agency. And what I'm hearing is from your that expertise and that kind of big interest in this process, those are specifically the kind of comments and inputs that really are beneficial when they come through that cooperating agency process. So as you guys are weighing whether you want to, you know, sign an MOU and be part of the cooperating agencies, just those are the kinds of things that we're really looking for and we really find beneficial in the process.
No, I appreciate that. My concern is we're kind of signing a blank check here. We don't know what we're getting into, you know. When these rules and regs are adopted, and maybe they're contradictory to what I've just explained to you, then that's going to cast a bad light on this board of county commissioners. And so explain how that process would work. So is there going to be an enforcement piece of this that's going to be addressed by this MOU, or we don't know at this time, I take it?
Well, one beneficial aspect here is you can become a cooperator anytime during the planning process. The MOU really just formalizes that cooperating agency relationship. So prior to that, if you want to see more of kind of what we develop as alternatives first and what a little bit of this plan might look like, it's also possible, you know, you could officially join later after you have some of that more information. We just don't have those alternatives, you know, developed quite yet. It takes some time with cooperators to develop those, but that's one option too. The other option though is, like Keith said, it is very helpful for us when we are designing. You know, we're very early in this plan. If you have some concerns and that local expertise, it's very helpful for BLM to hear that and know that early. So with you being part of our cooperating agency group, it's easier for us to make sure we kind of consider those concerns early on, you know, prior to any alternatives being developed too.
We have to sign on with the MOU to become a cooperative agency and you know, to address these concerns?
Oh, well, you can certainly share concerns and coordinate with us outside of the cooperating agency status. You don't have to sign an MOU to share concerns and still coordinate with us, but we do want to make sure, you know, we're clear that you would like that coordination if that's the case, if you don't want to be a cooperating agency, so that we make sure we continue that coordinating dialogue and relationship to obtain your impact, you know, or your input outside the cooperating agency status as well. Just know if you're not a cooperating agency status, there are some, you know, privileges with that relationship in terms of being able to hear what other counties say and some of the discussions we have in that group of expertise and those documents we're able to look at and have those confidentiality agreements. There is benefit to, you know, that isn't necessarily there with just coordinating either.
Certainly, you know, part of the responsibility that we have as the Board of County Commissioners, we are doing our due diligence and we want to reach out to those counties that have already signed on and then glean some of the perspective, you know. So, but one of the questions that I have as you're going through the environmental impact scan, and this whole thing, in a sense, we have COGCC that is went through a rulemaking and they're getting ready to adopt it. And certainly once they put in place, as a county group of elected officials, we've got to be cognizant and careful that indeed, you know, this whole thing is tied in with America the Beautiful, the 30 by 30, the expansion. I think at the end of the day, the connotation of this whole MOU could be a little bit of mixed messages, because in looking and assessing at what happened at Camp Hill in the last couple of weeks, you know, using the Antiquities Act of 1906, you know, we got to be careful, because certainly we have to protect our county, but yet be able to manage with the information that we have. So I don't want you to take this as a no today. We need to then put this as a line item of conversation for our regular Board of County Commissioners meeting. But I think with all the stuff that is happening nationwide and using the executive privileges that are coming from Washington, D.C., we don't want that to be expanded and be punitive, if you will, to the producers here in Southern Colorado.
And this Board of Los Angeles County Commissioners have drafted a resolution opposing the 30 by 30 policy. Just for information.
I hear you. One option that has worked for another county is if there's something in the MOU that you do not want in there for your county, we can accept changes such as, you know, for to make your messaging and to represent your constituents appropriately. Any feedback you send on the MOU, we're pretty receptive to that. So that concern, I think we could work together and alleviate that for your people.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things, we want to put some guardrails on whatever we do as county commissioners, because it has been so heavy-handed from our state. It has been one way, and even from the federal government. So one of the things that we want to do, obviously, we want to be players in the sandbox, but we also don't want to just jump in there for the sake of doing so. So if that is a great opportunity, we'll definitely take that under advisement and come back to you by here in the next couple of weeks with a resolute response. And personally, as Commissioner Tony has talks about, the regulatory rulemaking recommendations coming out from COGCC that is going to be impacting both ag and wildlife. And so carefully, we have to navigate that, whether we say yes or no. So, because, you know, in Southern Colorado, when you look at the ag industry, just to put it in perspective, the ag industry in the state of Colorado employs about 198,000 people, and it creates about $47 billion of revenue to the state. So it's so imperative and important that certainly here in this part of the county and this part of the state, we have to be respectful of them and, yes, reach out and put a protection hedge around that. And I hope you understand our comments today.
Thank you.
And just I just wanted to add a little bit to that. 40% of the cattle industry is actually raised and grown on BLM land. And so I'm trying to be real cognizant of that too, and I appreciate the fellow commissioner's comments.
Perhaps you can't answer this. Perhaps this is going to be part of a different study. Will the environmental impact statement or any other study address potential financial impacts to local governments? I don't believe on federal properties for minerals that there is a severance tax, but there is another type of tax, and I don't recall off the top of my head. If gas and oil exploration, as an example, is limited to what it potentially could be, will part of one of these statements or studies address that? And then also, as Commissioner Hass alluded to, financial impacts to local government if cattle are even further restricted or other type of grazings are further restricted on the national grasslands, as an example? Will there be studies to come up with some type of estimate on what that's going to be costing local government?
So if I'm hearing the question is, will the impact analysis we do disclose and analyze potential socioeconomic impacts, not just to consider that mineral value and those impacts on private land, whatever decisions we make, factoring in neighbor land, private land, what is the impacts to that mineral value and how we, is that the correct, and also how we may impact the cattle. Okay. Yes, we have had some of those discussions already, and we're framing up kind of the methodology and how this analysis may look, but it has been brought as a concern and something we're looking into. Depending on what these alternatives are, what does that do? What is the socioeconomics to mineral value and not just being tunnel visioned on the federal, you know, jurisdiction, but other jurisdictions as well? At this time, I don't believe there's any proposal to limit any sort of grazing, not make any new or change decisions for cattle grazing, but the agriculture sector is something we're looking into, and the socioeconomic impact as well.
And one last one, and this is, I don't know how impactful this is going to be, but I heard earlier where I believe the goal is this whole MOU and Big Game Corridor initiative is to protect and save big game. Did I understand that correctly?
Yes, that's part of it. The purpose and need of this effort is to conserve and protect big game. That's sort of what one of the elements that initiated this effort for the BLM is looking at our multiple use mission and are there ways where we can allow thoughtful development, but also better our conservation to big game species. And the other part of the purpose there is to look at specifically alternative management approaches for oil and gas and to evaluate consistency. So for example, one thing we've done among our cooperating agencies is we've been looking at local plans and doing a call for local plans to see, well, what are the county's goals? What does the county value, and how can our management be consistent, or at least evaluate consistency with the goals and plans that you may have. So kind of a multi-part purpose and need.
So since the big game is migratory, they go from my land to the BLM's land, what is the position of the BLM when it comes to the COGCC rule making and the limiting of that extracted water for consumption of wildlife?
That is a good question. I'm not sure that I could represent the BLM on that one today, something we can certainly look into. I don't know if Keith, Kathy, or Stephanie, you have any thoughts on that today.
I would just mention that it's probably it's a little bit of a mixed bag, because I think, you know, COGCC is working under their state authorities and their state jurisdictions. And so that doesn't necessarily directly impact BLM's management of public lands and the situations you're kind of talking about, as far as the same animals using, you know, both the private and the BLM land. But they do have certain jurisdiction and restrictions that they've gone through their rulemaking on. BLM doesn't influence that rulemaking. That's a state process. And so they're, again, that's a little bit apples and oranges. They have their process. We have ours. Now, Ashley's right. We try and make really sure that they're meshing so that we're not authorizing something that they're not, or vice versa, that there's, we're not setting up some type of conflicting regulations, but they are separate processes. The state went through theirs on their decision-making for the COGCC rules. Does that answer your question, Commissioner?
Yes, it does. And, you know, the next thing, you know, looking for alternative management approaches to the oil and gas, can you extrapolate just a tad on that?
So generally, the way the process works is BLM will go through the process of the EIS, and that'll analyze different approaches to managing oil and gas leasing and development, particularly in those areas, in this case, where there's some type of big game corridor or big game migration corridor, those kinds of things. Then those go into whatever those alternatives dictate, those go into BLM's land use plans. And then those are in turn transferred onto the leases that we issue when we lease BLM lands or BLM minerals for oil and gas development. So typically what it comes down to is they're typically what we call stipulations that serve to direct how we will, any restrictions that we would put on leases as they move forward. So sometimes those things can be like timing limitations. You can't actively have any development during a certain time period that may be real critical to wildlife. There are other types of stipulations, like you mentioned before, density stipulations, those kinds of things. But that's all the kinds of things that'll be analyzed in different alternatives in this land use planning process. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. So Keith, to understand that if the BLM operates oil and gas on any given state, am I understanding then that state law supersedes that of the BLM? Because you're saying that you're coordinating with the local COGCC for the oil and gas extraction. Did I understand that properly?
Yeah, and I'm, you know, we're probably getting a little deeper into the jurisdictional questions. I think if you guys have some questions about those, we can get our right folks together and maybe explain that a little bit better than I can at this point in time. And if that's something you want us to take a hard look at before you would sign the MOU or consider the MOU further, I think Ashley and I can work together to get you some answers for those kind of things. Would that be helpful?
I would appreciate that, Keith. You bet.
Okay. Maybe what would be helpful if the commissioners wanted to put together kind of the specific questions as far as jurisdiction they would like us to look at and how we work with COGCC. Those kind of specifics would be great. And then we could pull our right folks in and get you some real direct and substantive answers.
That would be really appreciated because, you know, I go back to the environmental impact scanning that you're going to be doing. At the end of the day, you have a cooperator county, which could be us, and we are going to be, in a sense, joined to the BLM by rule, regulation, and our procedure. And at the end of the day, we want to be clear that in fact, and I know you mentioned that you're operating within the state constraints, but I think that really would help this board to make a really tremendously to make a proper decision. But no, we appreciate this, and I tell you, have read the MOU, and in a sense, anytime you insert America the Beautiful and preservation, and those are such key to me personally, I'm speaking just as Commissioner Felix Lopez, those are red flags on my environmental scan.
Yeah, that's good to know. Yeah, if we want to figure out a way for to follow up, maybe an email to myself and Ashley, just with your questions, then we'll make sure we get some good solid answers for you. And then we can, if there's more discussion we need to have, we'd certainly be available for that.
Very good. Commissioner Tony has any questions?
Thank you for the opportunity to talk with you about this. It's very important to this county.
It is. Mr. Berenkamp, any other questions?
No, sir, no questions.
And anyone from the BLM, any questions for us, ladies and gentlemen?
No, thank you.
Yeah, thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
I really want to thank you for sharing this information and giving us the space to address some of our concerns. And definitely we'll keep the communication going. We'll send through Mr. Berenkamp specific questions as stated today. So Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And without further ado, motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Thank you
all. Thank you, folks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.